Hello, guys, and welcome to the Nacho Show. In today's world, the safety of citizens is more important than ever before. With crime rates on the rise, it's essential that police forces are up to the task of keeping their community safe. That's why Nick Roberts is the right choice for sheriff of Salt Lake County. Nick has a proven track record of making security a priority, and he has the experience and qualifications to back it up. He's been in law enforcement for many years, and he's seen firsthand how important it is to keep citizens safe. Nick knows that the safety of the community comes first, and he'll do whatever it takes to make sure that Salt Lake County is a safe place to live. We will go ahead and interview him here at The Nacho Show. All right. Well, fantastic work. Thank you so much for all being here with me. This is Ignacio Valdez from the beautiful Ogden, Utah. And well, we are approaching the end of the quarter of the year, and I'm very excited to eat turkey for Thanksgiving and also to open presents on Christmas. And obviously my birthday will be in October. So yeah, anyways, so many things that are in store. And today we have my good friend, Mr. Nicholas Roberts. How are you, Mr.?
Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. And well, there's so much to talk about. In previous episodes, we talked about several things like the safety of our children as far as schools is concerned, and also, well, you know, the safety of our country, you know, overall. Today, you are here with me, and I would like to ask you, you know, several questions in regards of your candidacy for Salt Lake Sheriff, Salt Lake County Sheriff. And well, I would love for our audience to know more about you. Can you give us a little bit of a background on your service? You can go from there.
I would be honored to, and I want to thank your listeners for taking the time to listen to this. I think this is an important issue in our state, in our county. My background is a little diverse. I have 45 years as a public servant in Salt Lake County, trying to protect the citizens, trying to stand up for them. I started my career back in 1977, because everybody's wondering how I could have 45 years. So I started as a Salt Lake City fireman, then a Riverton City police officer in the south end of the county. And then in 1980, I became a Salt Lake County deputy and served there for 30 years. And then we became the Unified Police Department on January 1st, 2010. I've been there since. I've served in many positions throughout. I was patrolman, a selective deployment officer for high risks for Sheriff Hayward, then Sheriff Kennard. I became range master for the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, and then the UPD. Was there for 24 years as a master instructor, a weapons expert and training expert, and then back in patrol now as a sergeant in the Mill Creek Holiday area, serving the public there.
Oh, wow. That's quite the resume right there. And
that's the quick brief of it. And I could add that I'm an FBI National Academy graduate. Less than 1% of officers in the United States ever get to attend the National Academy. It was my honor to go. And I graduated in 1998 from that.
Oh, wow. Is there any more?
There's a lot, but it would actually bore people. So there's certified fireman, EMT, master armorer, firearms instructor, weapons expert. So nice. It goes pretty long.
Wow. Well, definitely. Well, I salute you for everything that you have done for our community. And I'm an immigrant. I'm a Mexican immigrant, and I have been in the U.S. since 2003, and I'm very proud to say that I did everything the right way. And
that's cool.
One of the things that I always have to brag about is that police force. There's a huge difference between the police force here in the U.S. and the police force down in Mexico, and it's an honor to interview today, Mr. Roberts, and definitely I would like to talk and ask you just a couple questions in regards to of your candidacy. So. Are you also going to run for governor? I mean, I really hope we would have somebody like you as a governor.
Right now, I am finding out that running for political office is an extremely hard thing to do. I don't have a life anymore. I'm at town hall meetings every night and meeting with the fine people of this county, from Rose Park to Draper to Harriman to Taylorsville, Kearns, Magna. And it's been an honor because I'm meeting phenomenal people. I have several officers that I work with from Ecuador, from Mexico, and they are fantastic. I don't like to separate, or everybody to me is the same, and that's the way it needs to be. And your comments about your honor is important, and it's important to me because we are a melting pot. America was built that way. My family, I'm second generation, and I'm originally from the East Coast. So one of my problems is I usually answer questions very quickly, which is an East Coast trait. But we all need to work together, and we need more Hispanic community. I need more interaction with the Hispanic community. It has been my honor to meet an individual from Ecuador as well, and being able to talk and recruit people from this area. We need people. We need more police officers. We need to let them know that they are cared for, that they will be protected, that it's our honor to have this melting pot of people, because we can't survive without it.
Of course. And our dear United States of America is it is our responsibilities as citizen. I became a U.S. citizen, and it's definitely it's been like 10 years, 11 years, or something like that. But anyway, enough about me. Well, since we're talking about safety and
yes, we are.
And everything like that. So it is our. And I'm going to start by saying this before we go with the questions. So it's up to us as citizens to keep the law, to be lawful citizens of the United States of America, to be an example to others as far as following the laws, when we are on the street, or following the rules wherever we are, and the honesty, and that's what makes us great, and it is our responsibility. Yes. It breaks my heart hearing from others in the other side of the political, in the political spectrum, that policemen are bad. They come and get you just because of the color of your skin. And that's not true. That's definitely not true. Obviously, just because there are a few bad apples, then we're not going to blame everybody else, for the actions. We're not going to generalize about that. We cannot do that. I mean, we need to keep into perspective that we are responsible for our actions and for what we do. Great. So now, Nicholas, let's go ahead and talk about, why did you decide to become a sheriff?
One of the things, as I started as a city police officer, everybody looked up to the sheriff's office. It was the department that was voted for by the people. The sheriff is elected by every citizen in Salt Lake County, no matter what city they live in. And there was this air about being a deputy sheriff that the people could always count on you. It didn't matter what city you were in. It didn't matter where you were. You could always have a deputy. And, you know, I was hired by one of the strongest sheriffs we've ever had, and that was Sheriff N.D. Pete Hayward many years ago. Mm-hmm. And he stood up for the people, and that's what I want to do. I decided to run when I saw that there was nobody else filing to run. I did file as a Republican. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Constitution of the state of Utah. And it's important that the public is kept part of it. You know, you mentioned about a bad egg. And if we do not police our own, if the public does not let us know, we can't make ourselves better. Part of my running is everybody will be treated equal on the law enforcement side, the public side. Whether you're on duty or off duty as an officer, it will be a fair across the board situation with policies in place to make sure that everybody is treated equal. I miss the times where we met with the public and used to have meetings with the public. I want to bring that back, because if we don't hear from the public, how do we know how we're doing? There's got to be coordination between both sides.
Agree 100%. And it sounds like you want to keep your channels of communication open. And that's definitely admirable, because it is necessary to receive the feedback from the general public, you know, within the county, and see what is it that we can do better. And yeah, you have a great sense of humility, and that says a lot. That definitely says a lot. And yeah, I congratulate you for that. So what other things? So when you get to be the sheriff, what things are you thinking of implementing within the force to help serve your county better?
There are several things. I've come up with a 30, a 60, and a 90-day plan that I want to implement. One of the things is that I want to have meetings every 3 to 5 months in different parts of the community. I want to meet with the Hispanic community, the Korean community, the Italian community. I want to meet with the Greek community. Okay. I want the people to know they have somebody to turn to, that they can voice their issues, their concerns, and at the same time, make it so that my officers can come in and see me, that they can talk, that they know that there is an avenue that is open. I believe that with things that have occurred over the last several years, that we've fallen behind. I want somebody, if we walk up to them, to know that we're there to help them. We may ask a couple questions, but I want people to know that I want to treat them the way I would like to be treated, with respect, with dignity. And we have many good officers. I want to implement a mental health officer in each of the divisions. Mill Creek City now has one, and her name is Tracy Crino. She is going for her master's. She cares about the public and is dealing with the transient issue, with the mental health issue. And this is an area that we need to expand dramatically to serve the public.
Fantastically said. And I appreciate that, because taking care of the community is definitely something that needs to be taken into account. So I appreciate those points. Now, another thing that I was going to mention, probably I was going to ask this question after the the commercial break, but I'm just very intrigued, and we can analyze this further. I have a concern that I want to bring out to you, and this happened in the Salt Lake County. When you probably remember that we had a lot of people from Antifa on 400, I think it was 400 South, by the library, and they actually turned a police car upside down. I really did not appreciate that. And I say this because this is my state. Obviously, I don't live in Salt Lake County, I am very proud, and I am very, I don't know, I have a sense of protection, you know, for the territory that I'm in. Because, you know, when I became a U.S. citizen, I raised my hand to the square and I swore before a judge that I will protect the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. And I will also protect this country against domestic and foreign enemies. And seeing this destruction down in Salt Lake County, it boiled my blood. And I'm going to say this very openly here in my show here. So if something like that happens, and then, you know, we will go ahead and develop a little bit more. If something like this happens, what is it that you would do in a situation like this?
With the training that I've had and the years that I have, you know, the role of the sheriff is to protect people and to protect property and uphold the law. I think everybody in Utah was hurt inside when that patrol car was turned over, when it was set ablaze and people watched. That's not what Utah is about. That is not what the people are about. And the officers were told to hold the line, which is what we call it, and to not move, to not intervene. Because there were those that believed that it would have made it worse. You have to look at both sides of it. Ongoing destruction should not and cannot be allowed. There comes a point that law enforcement has to act. We acted during the 2002 Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. On the last night of the Olympics, people can remember there was a problem downtown at Bud World, and there was property destruction, and the public order unit was called in from the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, and we went in and we were able to quell the situation. Mm-hmm. No loss of life, no major injury. Mm-hmm. And we protected the downtown segment, and that is what we are sworn to do. So I would have a different reaction than my party on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we have an obligation and the law, Constitution of the City of Utah, that says we will act and protect. And that is a big job of being a peace officer. Mm-hmm. And there were things that occurred that shouldn't have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember that day. I was looking that on Facebook, and I mean, I live here in Weber County, and I wanted to drive down there and handle things myself, you know.
There were a lot of people that wanted to do that.
So, I don't know. I don't know who was the Salt Lake County Sheriff back then. But I don't know. Please correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm dreaming way too much. If I would have been the sheriff, I would have gathered all available units. And if they would be on call, I don't care. Come on, let's go jump on vehicles and calm this problem down and grab people. And yeah. So yeah. I don't know if you can do that or.
Well, there were things that were done, like I said, if you remember, there was a line of police officers to protect an area, and that's where they had to hold. There were issues on that I do not agree with. I had officers that I know that were injured during that, and that's not the way it should go. I believe that the public expected more to be done. And Sheriff Rivera was the sheriff then at that time, Mayor Mendenhall and Chief Brown. And
okay,
they were the ones in charge that day.
Okay. And my thought was, is that police car should have not been turned upside down. To me, and I'm going to say this with all respect, as far as the matter is concerned, I think that there should have been more things done that day. And if the people in charge would have taken charge, that car would have not been turned upside down. I don't know why that car was left there for them to do whatever they pleased. I don't know what exactly happened, but anyway, all right. I'm just gonna get very upset and keep talking.
No, about I do not want you to get upset. But you know, you look at what happened afterwards, like to the district attorney's building, red paint, and there again, officers were told to stand down, to stand back, and we cannot be a lawless society. We do have rules, we have laws that need to be abided by, and we have to protect the public. And there are times I don't think by doing nothing that we are protecting the public.
Exactly. I agree 100% there with you. I really pray for you, you know, that that you will win this election. I really do, because you do have the experience. You do what you do know what you're talking about, and you have everything that's necessary in order to keep the Salt Lake County safe. Now we do have other concerns, like the homeless community in the Salt Lake City area. I remember I came here back in 2003, like I said, and I used to live in Glendale. That's one of the areas that I lived in in my first year. And I, you know, like funny as it sounds, you know, back then I used to go and walk by in Salt Lake City, I don't think it was that bad of a problem now that it is today. So what would be, let's go ahead with this question. And then after you, when you answer, we will go ahead and go to a commercial break. But what would be your plans as far as dealing with the homeless situation in Salt Lake City?
Well, if you think back, you watch the Rio Grande situation where the state stepped in with Salt Lake City and all the police agencies in the valley to try to relocate, to try to assist, to try to get people into places, into the homeless shelters, to try to get it spread out, to try to get them help. That program now has gone by the wayside as far as all the law enforcement involved. And they have opened additional homeless shelters. But I think we need to get down to the root cause with the mental health and the issues that are there. Some of these families that we can help with programs, we need to get into the shelters. We need to get them help they need to get back on their feet. The pandemic hurt a lot. It closed down businesses. It made people unemployed. And these things have to be very delicately looked at on how we can assist. I honestly still want to believe that there are people that do not want a handout. They just need that extra boost to help them get back on their feet. And we need to address that more and get them into these programs for those that want it. Now, unfortunately, you do have the population in that community that does not want help. They just want to be left alone, do what they want to do. And then that causes a problem on the rest of the community and causes issues of crime, drugs, and the things that we're trying to stop.
Exactly. Exactly. And you mentioned something very important that I consider that to be crucial in this endeavor is the mental health. I would say, because, you know, there's a lot of people that can definitely make something for themselves. However, maybe they don't have the support and they need someone to rely on in order for them to be better and to become someone in the society. So, yeah, definitely. I would agree with you. So we'll go ahead and go to a small commercial break. And then we will be right back. And folks, remember, you guys are here at The Nacho Show, and we'll be here back in a minute.
Nacho Graphics is a professional graphic design company that offers unlimited graphic design services to small, medium, and large businesses. We pride ourselves on providing high-quality, affordable design services that are customized to meet the specific needs of our clients. Our team of talented designers is passionate about creating unique, eye-catching designs that will help your business stand out from the competition. Whether you need a new logo or marketing materials, we will work with you to create a custom solution that fits your needs and exceeds your expectations. At Nacho Graphics, we understand that each company has different graphic design needs. That's why we offer an unlimited graphic design service that can be customized to fit the specific needs of your business. We believe that great design should be accessible to all businesses, regardless of size. So, if you're looking for a graphic design company that can provide you with high-quality custom designs at an affordable price, look no further than Nacho Graphics. Contact us today to learn more about our unlimited graphic design services and how we can help your business grow. Check out our website, www.nachographics.com, or call 801-869-0523.
As a small business owner, you know that having a website is crucial to your success. But what you may not know is that designing and developing a website can be expensive. That's where Solidify Web comes in. Solidify Web offers affordable website design and development that will produce a website that is clean and tailored to fit your business needs. Plus, we offer search engine optimization services to help you obtain top rankings for your desired search terms, driving qualified leads to your site. Creating a website for your business is one of the most important things you can do in today's economy. Your website is your storefront and first impression for many potential customers. It is crucial that you have a clean, fresh, and well-designed website that represents your business the best way possible. We can create a stunning website for you that is both easy to use and navigate and ranks high in search engines. Contact us today to learn more about how we can help you take your business to the next level. As a physician, Dr. Robinson personally treated thousands of patients for their accident-related injuries, and as such, has an in-depth understanding of your physical complaints and injuries. It was at this time that Dr. Robinson discovered the difficulties of dealing with auto insurance companies. We know how difficult it can be for someone to handle their own case. Our personal injury law firm is dedicated to helping others navigate the difficulties involved in auto accident injuries, slip and fall injuries, brain injuries, trucking accidents, dog bite injuries, pedestrians and wrongful death cases. Why handle it alone? You can now have a law firm with not only legal experience, but also medical experience. Our attorneys and staff are focused on achieving the best possible outcome for you. Get what you deserve. At the Robinson Injury Law, you will be able to speak directly with your attorney. You may be just a number with other law firms and auto insurance companies, but at Robinson Injury Law, your case is our priority. Robinson Injury Law. Helping accident injury victims is all we do. Call today for a free consultation to see if you have a case. Utah 801-845-HURT 4878.
The Elliott Group Way is a philosophy to elevate the merchant services industry and increase the trust factor between merchants and processors by offering consultative, local, and proactive customer care to help you grow your business and reach your goals. We do things differently around here. Not only do we provide top-level products and services that work, we are your partner and ensure you affordable merchant services with our best rate guarantee. On top of that, we offer next-day funding so you can have peace of mind knowing your money will be in the bank quickly. When you choose EMG, you're choosing a partner that cares about your success. Let us show you the EMG way today. We also offer next-day funding so you can get your money as soon as possible. In addition, we offer a cash discount program so you can save money on your merchant services. So, if you're looking for an effective merchant services company that can provide you with low fees, contact us today to learn more about our merchant services at 801-362-2968.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to The Nature Show. And we are here with my good friend, Nicholas Roberts, who is running for Salt Lake County Sheriff. And we are back. And so let's go ahead and keep talking about these issues and how is it that you will be the, well, I mean, I know for a fact that you are the perfect fit for the job. So if I would have been in the Salt Lake County area, then I will definitely vote for you. So, but I encourage everybody to vote for Mr. Nicholas Roberts for Salt Lake County Sheriff. He is the guy to go. He is the guy that is going to be part of the protection and the safety of the Salt Lake County. And he will do so proudly. And he will do so with the best of the ability to do that. So thanks for being here. I appreciate you. And let's talk about something very that's been going on right now. You being the person that you are, you have a great spirit of you know, and pride. You take a lot of pride in your work that you've done throughout the years. Now, there's something that concerns me, and it is how politicized is the military force and the FBI now, you know, nowadays. So how is it that you would combat that in order for you to stay neutral to politics within the force?
You know, that question has been coming up a lot lately. And one of the things that I do have an advantage of that I'm very proud of is attending and going to the FBI National Academy, being part of that 1% that actually gets to attend. And during the time I was the range master for the sheriff's office and the UPD, I had very good working relationships with the FBI. Mm-hmm. Several of the special agents in charge, one in particular, Mary Rook, was the special agent in charge. And being able to talk and work with them was an extreme honor. They have their guidelines under federal law. We mm-hmm. have our guidelines under state law and constitutional law. On both constitutions. I think the beginning part is bringing them and working with them, finding out their side, what's going on, and them communicating with me, the sheriff, to make sure what is going on I think that's the beginning. That's where we have to start with our special agent in charge in Salt Lake. We have had very good agents here in Utah, and I believe that that relationship and working with the other police departments in the valley help us protect the citizens and make sure that there is not a federal program. That's part of the job with the sheriff, is that communication and making sure that those values, that those laws are upheld, that there are things that need to be done and worked together with. And that's the beginning point, is starting there and getting everybody to the table.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Well, yeah, because the most important thing that you can do is it comforts me. Sorry, English is my second language, so I appreciate
you. I'm still trying to get Spanish, so I get it. I'm scared to death, but I'm trying.
Well, you're good. So it comforts me to know that you want to remain neutral and that you have a good relationship with the FBI in order to collaborate mutually in regards of issues. And yeah, we really have to be very careful nowadays with what is going on. I heard from another podcast that there was an issue with a parent preventing a child from going into a transition, like a transsexual transition or whatever, and then the FBI was involved, and then the FBI arrested the parent for not allowing the child to go into that trans hospital to change the gender of the child. That was very impactful, and this should not be happening in America.
I mean, that one I have not heard. I do remember the one with the child and the cancer treatment, and they fled the state of Utah, and that would automatically then involve the FBI to a point. But I have not heard that one. On the transgender, everybody has in Utah very strong belief systems on that, of when it should be allowed, when it should be considered, when, you know, is somebody of transgender competing equally against the other sex when they change. These are issues of the public that the public needs to be part of and address. But I do not know that particular circumstance or the facts on it, so I wouldn't make a comment. But there are rules that the FBI has to play by. Just like as the sheriff, there are rules that I have to play by. And
of course,
mine is to protect the public. So,
Of course. And I think I heard that from Tucker Carlson. I'll go ahead and send you the video.
I would like that. Thank you.
Yeah, so you can take a look at it. Maybe I kind of paraphrased a little bit, but yeah, I will go ahead and send that over to you.
Thank you.
But yeah, it shouldn't, gosh, I mean, it shouldn't be, the police force should not be involved in the decisions of the household, you know, for something like that. I'm a dad, you know, I have three kids, and my children are my priority, you know, and I would say government officials should not have their hands in my pocket or, you know, in that type of regard, you know, because, you know, I'm the father and I know what's best for my children. And, you know, just like you will be the sheriff of the Salt Lake County, and you will know what's best for the county.
I'm hoping I will. I'm hoping that 45 years of working with the people and the knowledge will give me the wisdom and the fortitude to continue, and the belief in our Constitution and God. You know, in God we trust is right in the beginning of the Constitution with the forefathers, and we have to stand together, and we do have to talk. We do have to bring things to the table, and that's all the communities and all the different belief systems. whether it's religious or personal, or that's the beginning point, and that's where I want to come from.
Nice. And that you mentioned something important right there as well, is the fact that the laws, they come from God. And and it is our right to protect those laws. Having you as the Salt Lake County Sheriff will definitely reinforce that perspective of, being really having that sense of, constitutional perspectives and the perspective of the, in God we trust, definitely. So before we end this show, I really would love to allow you a little bit more, more time for you to talk to us some more about what's more important to you. We know that we need to keep, our cities safe and everything like that. So what is the maximum thing in your career? What is your desire? What is it that you would like to accomplish being a sheriff?
The thing I want to accomplish is communication with everybody and let them know that they are going to be treated fairly, equally, and the way that they want to be treated. One of the big issues I've been having, and it's one of three, is the jail, our corrections system right now. Mm-hmm. COVID got blamed for an awful lot of things, and we lost businesses, we lost employees, we lost workplaces. And when that occurred, there were things that were done with the jail to lower the population. But the problem we have is we're not keeping the people in jail that need to be kept in jail, that have committed the violent crimes. Currently, it seems to be a revolving door. And getting the officers in the jail, letting them get their paperwork done and get out, and keeping these individuals in that are serious, is a protection to the public. And I don't want somebody being booked and back out on the street in 2 or 3 hours to reoffend. I don't want Salt Lake County to be known as the county that you can commit crimes in and get back out. And that seems to be what's happening. We have to fix that. We can't have officers taken off the street for long periods of time. And be in that jail. We have very good people down there. We just need to change some things. The sheriff communicates with the judges and works with the judges and has the care of the jail. These are things that need to be done. The police officers need to know that it's going to be equal with me across the board. You do something wrong, there's going to be consequence. There has to be. We have to protect the sanctity of the public, and the public needs to know that if something's done wrong, there's a consequence. If it's done right, I'm going to back them. And I want to make it transparent. Las Vegas Metro, in the sheriff there, has a very definite policy. I was down there for 2 days getting training and working with their administration several years ago. And he has a program that within 24 hours, he will put out a podcast on critical incidents. Then there's a 72-hour podcast on critical incidents to keep the public informed on what happened, how it happened. And he has a very good, I believe, system, and I want to implement that here. I want to be able to show the public what and why. And if an officer and there's a mistake, then we own up to it. We correct it. Mm-hmm. And the retraining that needs to be done is done. I want transparency. I want the public to know that they have somebody that they can speak to, that they can get contact with, and trust. Trust is a very big thing for me. It has been. When I was working with Senator Orrin Hatch and Senator Bennett to build the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Range so that police officers would have a place to train forever. Nobody can take it. It's surrounded by national forest. I worked with people that a handshake took care of the problem, and we moved on, and we got the job done. We got our off-ramp. We got the bridge done. And these are the things I want people to know that I stand for. That handshake is worth everything in the world to me. And the trust of the public, going in and meeting with them and continuing an ongoing discussion, not just do it once and let it go away. I want it every several months throughout the county to hear what's going on and where we could make it better, whether it's with the Metro Gang Unit, the Metro Narcotics Unit, the Marshals Unit. Mm-hmm. People need to know these things exist and what we're out there doing. And if there is an officer-involved critical incident, that we have transparency and it's looked at by another police agency. The state stepped in several years ago and made it so that the district attorney did one part and it was put outside of the agency. That's transparency. That's letting the people know that somebody else is looking at it, somebody is doing it, and I want to make that better. I want to enhance that.
Wow, that is fantastic. And I would love to help with that if you.
I'll take it because I'm going to bring in a bigger civilian board, and okay. I want it done right. I want that input.
Excellent. Yeah, and I will be very happy to be part of that and bring all of my knowledge and my experience to this if you want to get this implemented. But anyway, so it's right there.
Well, I take the offer.
All right, let's do it. And one last thing before we close the show is I had a guest in my show last year, and he used to be part of the police force in Salt Lake City. there was an instance where the Gay Pride Parade was taking place.
The motor officer.
I'm sure you're aware of who I'm talking about.
Yes, I
am. Eric Motsus. I always have a hard time with his last name, but anyway. So he refused to patrol that parade because obviously because of his beliefs, he got suspended. Maybe you know more about the situation than myself. I don't think that was fair, you know. And also another thing that concerned me is the fact that in order to receive federal funding or certain funding for the force, they have to give people tickets, like a certain amount of tickets, in order for them to get the funding. So can you clarify about this, and how would you handle that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we have to work with as law enforcement, as police, is understanding our officers. There have been challenges due to religious beliefs throughout the United States. And from the information that I had received on that particular incident, I would have reassigned that officer to another position. Mm-hmm. And I mean, can we do that for everybody if we have a major crisis? No. Sometimes there is a need that you have to abide and do the job as a police officer, regardless of your issues. But in that particular case, from the information that I had received, there was pre-information, there was discussion, and I don't know what happened. It was not my department, and I don't have all the facts, but I would have handled it in a way that I could have put that officer into another position and worked with them. I mean, right now it is so hard to get people to become a police officer. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to go out there, be mistrusted, be yelled at, be spit on, be cursed at just because I wear a badge for the people. And Sir Robert Perry, made a comment that the police are the people and the people are the police. And we have to work together. You know, we are the enforcers for the public, but at the same time, the public are the enforcers for us. They're the ones that come up and say, hey, we want this. There was a cry to defund the police. And I think it was more of a cry to reorganize, make it better. At least that's what I want to believe and hope, that without the police departments, we have anarchy. We have situations that cannot occur. So with that, I would have handled it differently. I would not have lost an officer. I want to recruit and get good officers. And that particular instance, I probably would have handled, I know I would have handled differently.
Of course. Of course you would. Knowing the individual that you are and the trust that you want to build, yeah, I'm 100% sure that you would have handled this differently. And that's the reason why you need to be the Salt Lake County Sheriff. I will salute you.
Thank you for what you're doing, sir, because you're talking with the Hispanic community. You're working with them. You're letting them know there's a way to do it. And I honor that. I care and honor the fact that you did it right. My family did it right. Your family did it right. And
thank you.
We're not violating the laws. We're not causing more problems. I mean, you look at our border and it's a mess with what's going on. And I feel for the officers down there, the military that's down there, they've got an impossible job. And if you look at other countries and you look at Mexico or Ecuador, you don't have the rights that we have here. And sometimes people forget that. And I had the privilege to go to Israel and train for 21 days. And it was different. The laws are different. And you realize how many privileges we have here, the freedoms and the rights that they don't have in other places of the world. You violate some of those things, you can get shot.
Yeah.
It's not good. So I honor the fact that you have this show and that you're doing it. And it's my privilege to be here today to talk to your listeners. And they can contact me at votesheriffnick.com or my email is nrobertsforsheriff@gmail.com. I'll answer you. It may take me a day as busy as I've been, but I want to hear from the public. I want to know what they think. And again, thank you and your listeners.
You're very welcome. And remember, guys, vote for Nick Roberts for Salt Lake County Sheriff. He will be a fantastic sheriff for the Salt Lake County, especially nowadays. You know, we're having a lot of problems going on, definitely he is the right man for the job. He has many years, more than 40 years of experience, and definitely go to his website. What is the website again?
The website is votesheriffnick.com, or you can just look up Nick Roberts for Salt Lake County Sheriff and it'll take you right to the website, and I will answer you. I will get you a sign, whatever you need, but vote. We have to get out and vote. That is going to be the key.
Excellent. Yeah, get out and vote again. Well, thank you so much for being here, Mr. Roberts. Thank you so much. And we will see you next Thursday. Ciao.